Who came by boat today? We were talking about it earlier this morning. Do you remember the times in Savannah? In fact, right around here, it'd get so deep when we'd have one of those gully washers. You'd have to get out and... I was at Candler Hospital one day. This was years back, visiting at the new location. And some of you probably don't even realize there was another location. In fact, there were a couple of other locations. And one of those rains came, and then the sun came out. I got in my car and I started to go home. And you couldn't get anywhere. It was flooded. It was that deep. So all the people just got out and started fellowshipping with one another, talking and all that. It was a great thing. Lord just stopped traffic with His rain. So glad you're here today. I know the Lord has brought you here at this time for this day. And the title of my message today is Wounded Prayers. Pray-ers. Wounded Prayers. And we're going to be going through a book of the Bible, and you can go ahead and turn to Job chapter 1 with me today. Job chapter 1. How many of you think you know what the theme of the book of Job is? That's a trick question. Why would a preacher ask that? He's trying to trip you up. Many say that, have said, in fact, I thought this for years, that the theme of Job, book of Job, was the suffering of Job, the suffering of man. That's a subplot. The theme of Job is the sovereignty of God, that He is over all. Now, I want to read the beginning of the story with you, and then we're going to flip to the last chapter. We're going to the first chapter, then we're going to go to the 42nd chapter together. So follow along as I read the story and refresh your memory about it. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was blameless, upright, fearing God, turning away from evil. Remember those descriptions of him. 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. His possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and very many servants. And that man was the greatest of all men of the East. Remember those statistics. Lord doesn't put details in the Scripture just for entertainment. His sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one on his day, and they would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. When the days of feasting had completed their cycle, Job would send and consecrate them, rising up early in the morning, offering burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "Perhaps my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." And thus Job did continually. So would you say Job's a pretty good guy? Would you say he's a servant of God? Yeah, okay. Now, story turns. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, before Yahweh. And Satan also came with them. A lot of descriptions of this. We're probably talking about the angelic host, everyone being there. Of which Satan was a fallen one of these. But on this day, he was allowed to come. We'll chase this rabbit another day. But suffice it to say, Satan was there. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From roaming around on the earth, walking around on it." What do we learn from Peter that Satan was given authority to do? He is called the prince of the power of the air. And what does it say in 1 Peter? What does Peter say about him? He is going about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He is actively going against us to do anything. looking at any little thing, anything, any pick in the garment, he looks at us like we wear double knit. Y'all might see where I'm heading with this. Because what happens if you pick one part of the double knit? Remember those cartoons? One thread goes, and what happens to the rest of it? Oh, some of y'all looking like you never wore double knit. Peter, we know. So he's looking to that. So here's Satan. And he says, I'm walking around the earth. And the Lord brings up Job to him. The Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? For there's none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. Satan answered the Lord. He answers Yahweh. Does Job fear God for nothing? And what does he mean by that question? It's actually an accusation from the father of accusers. He's saying, Yahweh, he is only serving you for what he can get out of you. Now, many say that's the rap on American Christianity, by the way. That we only serve God for what God gives us. All right? Does he fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him? Verse 10. His house and all that he has on every side. You have blessed the work of his hands, his possessions, have increased his land. You've put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, and he'll surely curse you to your face. Then the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. See, that's Satan. Only do not put your hand on him. So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord. By the way, when a little side note, he departed from the presence of the Lord. So when we're listening to Satan, what does that mean? If we're close enough to listen to him, what does that mean? We've departed from the presence of the Lord. Okay. Now on the day when his sons and daughters were eating, this is Job's family, were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans attacked and took them. And they also slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another came to him and said, fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep, and the servants were consumed, and I alone have escaped to tell you. And while he was still speaking, another said to him, the Chaldeans formed three bands and made a raid on the camels and took them and slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another said, your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in the oldest brother's house, and behold, a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they died, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Is there any more he can hear? Then Job arose, tore his robe, he shaved his head, he fell to the ground, and he worshiped. He said, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I shall return. The Lord gives, the Lord has taken away. What's the other part of that? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. Chapter 2. And again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Satan also was among them to present himself before the Lord. The Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? By the way, when God ever asks a question in Scripture, if He ever asks you a question, He's not asking for information. He's asking to see if you will agree with Him. Then Satan answered the Lord, and he said, from roaming about on the earth and walking around on it. The Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him in the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God, turning away from evil. He still holds fast his integrity, although you incited me against him to ruin him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord. He answers Yahweh. He says, skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has, he will give for his own life. However, put your forth your hand and touch his bone and his flesh, and he'll curse you to your face. So the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your power, only spare his life. And Satan went out from the presence of the Lord again, and he smote Job with sore boils, and the sole of his from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head, and he took a potsherd to scrape himself while he was sitting among the ashes. And then his wife, Job's wife, Mrs. Job, what does she say to Job? Curse God and die. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Now, when Job's three friends heard of all the adversity that had come to him, they came each one from his own place. Eliphaz, sympathy and comfort in that? No, sir. That may have been their original intention, but that wouldn't happen. When they lifted up their eyes at a distance and did not recognize him, they raised their voices and wept, and each one of them tore his robe and threw dust over his heads toward the sky. They've got all the religious stuff down here. Then they sat down on the ground with him for 7 days and seven nights, with no one speaking a word to him, for they saw that his pain was very great. We hear the lament of Job, and then we go through the book. We go through the book and we see their comfort. These three supposed comforters that come to him in this hour of his great need. His wife has turned her back. Then we come down to chapter 38. Flip on over there. Verse 1. And then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. We see that that Job has some questions for God, and God speaks to him. And he asks him the question, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now gird up your loins like a man, and I will ask you, and you instruct me? Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? And he then proceeds to ask him a lot of questions. And they do this back and forth. And finally, we come down to the last chapter of the book, chapter 42. And by this time, Job is questioning God. He's heard from these three comforters, these three friends of his. And in their comfort, we learn more about them than we do about Job. We learn more about their situation and where they're coming from and their ideas about God. And now God speaks. He speaks in these last few chapters, and he takes Job on this trip throughout all of his creation, and he takes him around and shows him all of this. And we get down to chapter 42. Then Job answered the Lord, and he said, I know that you can do all things, that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? I love the New Living Translation of this. It says, who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorance? Don't you like that? Who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorance? Therefore, I have declared that which I did not understand, Job says. Hear now, and I will speak, and I will ask you, and you instruct me. I have heard of you, he says, Job says, by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I retract and I repent in dust and ashes. What's just taking place is whatever the last of Job's own agenda that was in himself, he at last now has shut up and he said to God, "You're God. I heard about you. I had a relationship with you that I thought was rocking along. I had this relationship, but that was hearing. Now I have seen you. Now my eye sees you." Because the Lord fulfilled something. We get a little preview of a name that was to come for Jesus. And that name was Emmanuel, God with us. Because the Lord revealed Himself to Job in this way, in the midst of all the suffering, in the midst of all the things, the bad news. And I want to remind you, this book will close. We will see Job blessed. He will have double. You'll see it in later on in the chapter, in chapter 42. He will be blessed with double of everything that he had before. The book will close, the end, happily ever after, and Job never knows about the meeting that took place. He never knows that Satan came to the council. God never shows him that. But in the midst of that, and when I think about it, Dusty, why would you be sharing that with us? Because we have a lot of why questions, don't we? We've got a lot of whys we would like to have in. How many of you asked God why this week? Put your hand up. I know you have. Why did that have to happen? Lord, why'd you do that? I don't understand this. How much time have you spent with that? Yeah, we've spent some time. But I want you to see him now, what happens in his life. I want you to see how God turns this thing. Now, you think this man is weak. He's at the bottom of the barrel right now. You think, right? In a worldly sense, he's at the bottom. He's lost everything. His friends have turned their back on him. Everything. He's utterly alone, right? Wrong. Because right now, at this very point, he is the most usable that he has ever been by God. Why? Because every corpuscle of his being is now wide open to hear from God. He's not holding anything back. He's asked God all the questions. God's come in the whirlwind. God's spoken the small voice. God's spoken in all these ways. He's heard all the shenanigans of his friends. He's heard the religious pontificating that has gone on between these three, Eliphaz, Elihu, Bildad. They've all come. And now, the scripture says, here's Job saying it, "I repent. I change my mind. I do an about face about everything that is not of you." And the Lord helps him see through all of this. The Lord is always teaching us through circumstances, isn't He? Through the experience of life. And in the midst of this, what agenda is the Lord interested in? He uses all of this that has gone on for Job to see Him. He wants a personal relationship. He wants a deep relationship. Yes, Job had a relationship with God, but the Lord wanted to take him to a new depth, to a new level in his relationship, because God wanted to use him. And we're about to see how. Verse 7. It came about, chapter 42 now, came about after the Lord has spoken these words to Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, "My wrath is kindled against you." Translation, I'm mad. You fill in the other things you might say right there. I'm mad. And against your two friends, because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. They got through all of that and learned nothing. His comforters, his counselors. But Job goes through all of it personally. And what does it do? It drives him to the Lord. You know, you can let your circumstances do one of two things. You can let your situation in life do one of two things. You can let it drive you away from God and away from His presence and say, look, Job could have done that. Or you could say, that just drives me into the arms of my Lord. Now, he goes on. He's got further instructions for Eliphaz and his two buddies. "Now therefore, take for yourselves 7 bulls, 7 rams." This is a huge offering here. "And go to my servant Job." Now, how's God speaking of him now? My servant. This one who's come through the fire. Go to my servant. Now, is he at the bottom? Man, he's at the top. Because God is referring people to him. "Go to my servant Job. And Job will pray for you." Job will pray for you. "For I will accept him so that I may not do with you according to your folly." Now I want you to see what's happening here. Listen closely. This is an Old Testament type. Right here is a picture. Is a picture of Jesus. Right here, we're getting a little preview of things to come as Yahweh is going to use him as an intercessor, as one who would step in the gap, someone who would intercede for someone else. And he's saying, "I will accept Job's offering for you. And right now, you can't come directly to me except through him." Now, is that not exactly the spirit in which Jesus came? And we come to him. He is our connection. He is our intercessor. He is the one who stepped in the gap for us and did something for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. Are you following me here? "Because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has." And here's the good news. So Eliphaz, the Temanite, Bildad, the Shuhite, Zophar, the Naamathite, went and did as the Lord told them, and the Lord accepted Job. Reminds me of another verse in chapter 15 of Genesis. You know where I'm headed with this? Where it says about Abraham, "And Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness." This is in that same vein. It's an act of faith. They take this act of faith And then Job, in faith, presents them before the Lord. The next verse says, "And then the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends. The Lord increased all that Job had twofold." You see, this wounded prayer, Job, became the instrument that God used. Let me tell you, the evil one would have you believe that the circumstances, the bad things that have happened to you, and all the stuff that's gone on in your life, that it disqualifies you from being used by the Lord. I'm here to tell you today, to announce to everyone, that those very circumstances, all the junk that has gone on in your life, when you present it before the Lord and you come with a humble heart as He did, and finally say, "You're Lord of all. You are Lord of my life. I'm giving You control." All of that stuff then becomes your testimony of what God has done for you and what God will do for other people. Here, Job, who should have been the one by world standards, who should have been cursing God like it, Mrs. Job said, he becomes the one who is the mouthpiece of praise to God. A wounded prayer that God uses. Now, all of us wounded? Are you wounded? We're wounded people. Are we going to be honest about it? And say, "Lord, here it is. Here's my junk. My stuff." Then all of his brothers, verse 11, and all the sisters and all who had known him before came to him. And they ate with him in his house, and they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversities that the Lord had brought on him. And each one gave him one piece of money and each a gold ring. Here it begins. And the Lord, Yahweh Himself, blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. And he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 female donkeys. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he named the first Jemimai, the second Keziah, and the third Karen Hapuk. In all the land, no women were found so fair as Job's daughters, and their father gave them inheritance among their brothers, and after which normally they would not get, but he shared it all. After this, Job lived 140 years. He saw his sons and his grandsons 4 generations. Job died an old man full of days. And he never knew about the heavenly council. You don't have to know why. But you must know who. Who? Who will be with you? You may have come to the point in your life where you think, "Well, Dusty, man, God can't use me. I'm disqualified from the..." Well, you believe in a lie. Because the Lord wants to qualify you. And He will. But you must come in agreement with Him that He is Lord. And allow Him to be Lord of your life. Is there any doubt at the end of this? Did When Satan, we don't have another account of Satan coming back when the sons of God come together and saying anything about Job. Did Job serve God for what he could get out of God? No. No. That was a blessing on top. He had already been obedient. Then God blessed him. It's kind of like salvation. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, this is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then you get to verse 10, which is after the salvation has already come to your life. Then he says, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works to glorify the Father, which is in heaven. Do you see? That comes after. This blessing comes after. I don't know what part of this message is for you, but I know one thing. Brother Dusty needed to hear this message. Let's pray. I don't know where you are. I don't know what's going on in your life. The deep things of the soul are going on with you. But I know one thing. He is Lord. And His purpose must become our purpose. Would you today just hand it all to Him and say to Him, Lord, You are Lord of it all. I release into Your hands all my stuff. God wants to use you in His plan. Are you willing? Now the upside of that is there's a blessing for you, but that only comes after. But there's a blessing for others too. They need you. Lord, I thank You for speaking to us today. I thank You for Your Word, clear and plain. Right now, Lord, may we respond to You in faith, in trust. Lord, come. Come right now. Come and speak to us. Come and work in our lives. We submit ourselves unto You. Lord, I don't know about all the meetings that have been held. I don't know about all the stuff that is going on in the world. And I know the prince of the power of the air wants to destroy us, wants to destroy our testimony, wants to destroy our lives. But today, Jesus, we say, You are Lord over all. And we're praying You would bind the enemy of our souls. Lord, that You would defeat as the world system just tries to chew us up. And Lord, we would not cave in to our flesh today. But we would say, Jesus is Lord. We would put it in Your hands. Including, Lord, the unanswered questions. Lord, we give You today all the why. And we accept You, the who. Altar is open. Maybe you want to get someone to come and pray with you. If you've never received Jesus in your life, today is a day of salvation. I invite you to come. Let Him come and minister to your need today. Whatever it is, But let's not go away from this place without having done business with Him today. Our pastors, our life group leaders, if you would come, let us pray. Come.
Streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place. Though I walk through the wilderness, Lord, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. And when the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun is shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Sure like to get those cards from you. If you have an offering to bring to the Lord, you can bring it now. There's a basket in the back and baskets up here. You can bring them at this time. Good, look this way. I know how many of you have felt beat up by the world or stuff going on, circumstances? Anybody have that feeling? Okay. I want you to know, we pray for you. We pray for us, because we're not immune to that at my house. All the stuff that's going on, all the junk that's going on, And that's why this message today of Job came back. It is the Lord. He will be with you. So I want to pray for you and pray God's protection over you. Pray that He will bless you as you trust Him today. And send you out. We're so glad Miss Kay is back with us. Did you see her back there dancing during the music? Are you glad to be back, Kay? Amen. Amen. Doesn't she look good? Look at her. Everybody turn around and stare at her right now. That's not her thing. That's why I did that. All right. Hey, and remember, you can bring joy and laughter in the Lord. People's lives. So let's do that too. Let's pray. Lord, we're praying right now for the body. Lord, right now, we can't even say grace over all the circumstances. But Lord, we're asking for your mercy. We're asking you to come and intervene. And Lord, in the sound of my voice right now are some people that are going through tough things right now, difficult things, and they need your guidance. They need you to come to be large and in charge in the middle of it. And so right now, we're presenting all of that. Lord, all the stuff we voiced out, and then the secret things that nobody else knows about. Lord, we're putting those before you too. Protect your body. Bring healing, Lord. There's some who need physical healing. We're praying for the miraculous. We're praying for signs and wonders from the Lord for you to do great and marvelous things. Lord, for those who need jobs, Lord, I want to thank you that several are here that you have given them jobs recently. Can we have an amen to that? Praise you, Lord, for that. praise you for what you've done. Now we're trusting you with the rest of it. Trusting you to provide, to give strength, to give guidance. Thank you, Lord. Now I send you out under the authority of Yahweh, our Father, in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Go in His name. Amen.